Friends, welcome back to the next chapter of Six Sigma, that is chapter number 16, Roadmap for Six Sigma. How to go about Six Sigma? We are now implementing Six Sigma in our organization. We know now what all are the important factors of Six Sigma. We know DMEC, we know DFSS. We know black belts and other things. We know what is the training given to them. Everything by now, we know. And now we are on the implementation phase of Six Sigma. I will tell you now how to go about it. What is the roadmap for implementation of Six Sigma? Primary constituencies for results in an organization are customers, leadership, employees, and financials. In balance scorecard, we have already discussed these factors. Now I am discussing the same thing, little different manner. Customer happens to be the first and foremost primary constituency for results. Let us discuss this factor. In terms of results, the customer takes the top priority. Customer is there, then the organization will run. Customer is happy, then organization will flourish. Without customers, there can be no company, there can be no results. Customer is the real boss. Companies that worship only the god of profit. Only financials, without bothering about what customer wants, by giving some discounts, by reducing prices, by doing some promotions, somehow they will see that the financials are protected. Only the god of profit wind up with neither profit nor customer loyalty. This is our experience. Customer loyalty will not be there, profits also will not be there. They are only behind the financials. Four primary factors are key to customer results. What are they? First, core customer loyalty. You should have more and more customers who are loyal to your organization. Core customer loyalty. Customer retention should be 100%. Customers are with you for a long time, and they will be with you for a long time. Customer retention. Their retention rate as a percentage of the total customer base is crucial for the success of a company. Then, what is the value added to the customer? Customer will buy your product only if it adds value, only if it's useful to him. If your product, your service doesn't add value, then he will go to your competitor, or he will try to do the service or product himself. He will change suppliers. So, what all we are doing, Six Sigma project for, is to have more and more value to the customer. Because if you want to retain your customer, value added to the customer should be constant or improving day after day. Customer needs are changing day after day. Customer needs are changing, so you should be ready for fulfilling the changing needs of the customer, and also the value added to the customer should also continuously improve. Customer base reduction. Here, you will be surprised. What is this I am talking about? But one thing, you are having 100 customers. In that 100 customers, you are having a few customers who are very loyal. A few customers are very satisfied. A few customers who are potential customers. A few customers who really want to buy your product because your product is better than other customers. So, you are having some customers like that. You also have some customers who are frustrated with you, who are tired to buy your products, who want to leave your organization. What you do? You should reduce your customer base. In that base, you should have more and more loyal customers, happy customers, and the customers who like your product. Such customers, you make the customer base. Not all customers are worth keeping. In fact, the mark of smart companies would be to give their poor customers to their competition. Because your poor customers, unsatisfied customers, frustrated customers are not going to help you in any way. So this is one thing which will be surprising, but we should do this. Next, public perception of the company. What is image of your organization in the mind of the public or mind of the customer is also important. We must strive to improve this image continuously in the mind of the customer or public at large about the company as a good employer and as a responsible citizen, corporate citizen. So, this image is very much important. After I have discussed about customers, I will come to the organization where I have repeatedly informed you the importance of the leadership. What all we are doing in Six Sigma is developing the leadership in the organization. Recruiting the people who will be leaders and who can be developed, who have the caliber, who have the capability to become leaders. That leadership I will discuss now. Next only to customer, leadership is the most important criteria for results. If you don't have leaders, if you have only followers, your company will no longer be existing in the market. A company without true leadership is rudderless. Four primary factors are vital to leadership results. What are they? Releasing the full potential of all employees. What is a leader? Leader is not an ordinary manager. Leader can influence his team in such a way that full potential of all employees is released. They give their total devotion to the company. Their all qualities are really coming out while their performance is being done. The true measure of a successful leader is to release the creative genie of each employee currently trapped in a bottle of bureaucracy. Today, their design skills maybe are having lot of restrictions. They are not given full potential. So, a true leader will bring up all that and giving it full scope to flower and bloom for the betterment of the employee. He will see that every employee is very, very highly interested in the company's benefit. There is enthusiasm everywhere in all the employees. He will create that enthusiasm. He will train them. He will create the enthusiasm. And he will also see that they are given all the resources. Transforming managers into leaders. There are hundreds of managers. How many are leaders? Maybe in a population of 100 managers, maybe only one leader is there. Such a dismal ratio is there in case of leaders. Most employees estimate that the ratio of leaders to managers is only 1:99. The measure of successful result-oriented company is the extent to which the dismal ratio has been reversed to favor enlightened leaders. This ratio should be better than this. For example, 50% at least manager should be leaders. That is the very, very important point in this leadership. So we have to transform the managers into leaders by giving them the training of champions, master black belts, and green belts. Conveying ethics, trust, and help. In any company, if you are to really run the business, if you are to have good perception in the minds of customer and public at large, ethics is the main thing. Ethical management is important. These are the hallmarks of leadership. Ethics, trust, and help. Without ethics, the company is not likely to survive in the long run. Some people manage by managing the people in the government offices. That will not be helpful. You must run an ethical organization. For example, for getting some temporary benefits, bribing is done by some people. That is completely wrong. I have worked in such an ethical organization where they refuse to give any bribe to anyone. No cheating, no bribing, no corruption. That is what is important thing. Without trust, there should be a complete trust between employees. There should be a complete trust between management and employees. Without active, concrete help, they will not rise to their maximum of their God-given potential. Everyone has God-given potential, but it is not used by the company. A true leader will create the people more ethical, more trustworthy, and with full potential. Leadership involves uncompromising integrity in all business dealings, even at the expense of the bottom line. For example, in my career, one government man was asking 15 lakh rupees just to forget about one small mistake done by the company in the invoicing. But company said, no, I will pay all the 15 lakhs, but I don't want to pardon this mistake. This is a mistake and we have to correct the mistake. So for that, we are ready to pay the fine of 15 lakh rupees. That doesn't matter. Gain sharing. When the company gets some benefits, some gains, they should be shared among the employees. As earlier said, employees should be awarded. They should get rewards for their good work. One of the distinctive differences between a truly successful company and a mediocre one is the differentials in gain sharing between senior managers and those employees who have earned it by their tangible contributions to the profitability. Now I will come, after discussing the customers and leadership, I will come to the employees. Behind customers and leadership, employees are next. We have discussed this in the balanced scorecard also. Employees are very important. Motivated employees. It is becoming the axiomatic that a company cannot have customer loyalty without a corresponding employee loyalty. If employees are not loyal, no customer loyalty is possible. Because employees are the ones who really get the loyal customers. Create joy in workplace. What Deming has said, very, very important. Create joy in workplace. Every person should be motivated, should be enthusiastic in its work. Company's productivity and employee morale can be gauged in a brief walkthrough in its plant. I take a round and I discuss with people. The way they answer my questions, I know whether they are enthusiastic, whether they are motivated, or they are disappointed. I come to know that just by talking to a few people in the organization in my round. If workmen appear busy, happy, hustling, a good productivity can be presumed. On the other hand, if they appear furtive, cowed, bored, sullen, one can sense a poor work climate. If they start saying, sir, nobody helps us, nobody comes here, nobody solves our problem, sir, we are not told about any management activity, we have to simply work and work, we are not getting the salaries in time. Like that, if they start talking, I know that productivity will never come, quality will never come, customer loyalty will never come. Empowerment. The employees should be empowered. the job should be delegated to them. They should be trusted. They should be trained. They should get full benefit, the chance to explore their full benefit. Empowerment ranges from total passivity to industrial democracy with the introduction of open book management, self-directed work teams and mini companies. An organization can make a leap of faith to the full potential. That is the faith between employees, that they can do the things. They can take up higher responsibilities. So, we have to create that atmosphere. Then, ratio of CEO salaries to line worker salaries. Okay, everybody will understand that CEO salaries will be more than their salaries. But if they are too much high, the ratio between CEO salary and worker salary is very, very big, then people will start becoming very, very unhappy and there can be a potential revolt. It contributes to worker dejection, frustration and alienation. So, this is required that CEO salaries are not too much higher than the worker salaries. Then, reduction of organization layers. The layers, sometimes layers are very, very big. For example, CEO, then senior manager, then manager, then deputy manager, then assistant manager and superintendent. Like that, so many layers are there. We have to reduce these layers because these layers make the organization very inefficient. One sure mark of a company's employee health is the number of organization layers between the CEO and the lowly worker. I worked in a company where organization layers were more than 16. So what happens? The transparency of the organization will be very poor. Modern organizational development recommends no more than 5 layers only, not 16, 17 layers. 5 layers only between CEO and the workers when managers have to shepherd 50 or 100 employees each instead of 6 to 10, they can no longer micromanage them. Then, on the top of the balance scorecard was financials. Financials are important to gauge health of an organization. For example, fund flow, customer receivables, account receivables, financials, following primary factors, profit on sales. Profit on sales must be very high. But how profit on sales will be high? Just by doing some promotions? No. For that, customers should be happy. For that, leaders should be there. For that, employees should be happy. For that, your business processes should be very capable. Then only financials will be better. So, profit on sales has to be more. Then, return on investment. What is return on investment? Income after interest and taxes divided by assets minus liabilities. That is ROI. First time it was profit on sales. Then it is ROI. Every business struggles to get more and more ROI. What is ROI? Income after interest and taxes divided by assets minus liabilities. Then return on assets only. What is that? Income, total income divided by assets. What are assets? Inventory, receivables plus fixed assets. So, income divided by assets. First was income, income after interest divided by assets minus liabilities. Here only assets. Return on net assets, RONA. Income before interest and taxes divided by assets minus current liabilities. What was ROI? Income after interest. What is RONA? Income before interest and taxes. Then return on equity. Income after interest divided by shareholders' equity. These are all financials. We struggle to improve these financials, returns, market position. I will explain to you what is this market position. We generally talk about market share. Market share and market position are two different things. Market share is if totally in the market there are 10,000 cars and your company produces 2,000 cars, okay, we can say that the market share is 2,000 divided by 10,000. But what is market position? Market position that there are in the market, there are total 5 competitors. Competitor number 1 produces 4,000. Competitor number 2 produces 5,000. Competitor number 3 produces 6,000. And competitor number 4 produces 7,000. And you produce 2,000. 2,000 is your market position where other competitors are producing more than 4,000. That is the market position. Market position and market share are two different things. What is important for the company? It market position. Where do you stand in the market? When others are producing 7,000 vehicles, you produce only 2,000. Your market position is poorer than other competitors. This is important. Several companies consider market share to be particularly attractive and strive mightily to increase it. It, however, could give a company a false sense of well-being as its market share increases while customer defections may increase. I want to retain all my customers. My customers may be going to other places. Though my market share is improving, I am losing the customers. Whereas market position will give me the correct position is a better signal of the performance. What is my market position? If I am able to sell more and more vehicles compared to my competitors, then my market position is better. Value added per employee. What is value added per employee? The total revenue minus the material cost minus the salaries. That is the net revenue what I get. Minus, then if I divide that value added divided by number of employees, I get the value added per employee. And more value added per employee. Companies frequently use the metric of sales per employee per year as a measure of their financial productivity. A truer productivity measure is value added, not sale. Sale per employee is erroneous. Value added. What is value added? Sales minus cost, material cost, salaries, everything. That is value added divided by number of employees. Revenue minus material cost. With this, comparisons across companies become meaningful, because it can happen that material cost in one company is very, very high, whereas material cost in other companies very, very low. So, if you subtract the material cost, then value added per employee is the real measure. The life cycle of Six Sigma initiative. Life cycle, first we begin with Six Sigma initiative in 5 major stages. First stage, goals are established, infrastructure is installed. This I will discuss in detail in the next slides. Initialize. First we initialize. What do we do? Six Sigma initiatives are programs. They require programmatic type preparations and planning, beginning with a prospective set of readiness tasks. As a part of initialization, executive training prepares the executive staff. First, creation of PELT. What is PELT? Project Excellence Leadership Team. There we initialize this Six Sigma initiative. Then deploy. What deploy is selection of champions and training them for various belts, champion, black belts, master black belts, and so on. We deploy them. Black belts, green belts, and yellow belts are trained. Next, implement. Then we actually map the processes. We create the CTQ trees. And everything what we do, we have discussed up till now, that is the implementation stage. Then, once we implement, expand it over the organization, everywhere. Expand it, and then next is the sustain stage. Whatever we have done, whatever hard work we have put, we have to sustain it for long time. Then only there is some meaning to do all this hard work. So, in the sustain phase, culture is self-healing. The Six Sigma project is used as a hotshot tool for addressing flare-up issues that emerge from new initiatives and outside forces. Six Sigma training supports these project needs and is also integrated with other methods. Training for Six Sigma. Up till now, we have discussed the training given to various belts. Here, I will show you one table for training for Six Sigma. Training is the key ingredient to achieving success by following Six Sigma way. A model Six Sigma training curriculum is like this. Training, topic, orientation to the Six Sigma concepts. The content is given here. All the employees. The leading and sponsoring Six Sigma efforts. Business leaders. Initially, we train the business leaders. Then, Six Sigma processes and tools. Whatever all tools we have seen up till now. Condensed and adopted instruction in Six Sigma measurement. Business leaders. Then leading change is the topic where business leaders, implementation leaders are trained. Black belts are trained, master black belts are trained. Then Six Sigma improvement basic skills training. Team leaders, black belts, managers, team members. Then collaboration and team leading skills, business leaders, coaches, master black belts are trained. Intermediate Six Sigma measurement and analytical tools, coaches, master black belts. Technical skill for more complex project challenges, sampling and data collection. Advanced Six Sigma tools, coaches, master black belts, and process management principles and skills. So, this is the training given to the people. In detail, I have showed you the black belt training, master black belt training, but generally implementation is being done by giving this type of training to all the employees. Thank you.